Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. CJ Gardner-Johnson is gone. We found that out about 23 hours ago, about to this time.
Yeah.
Because of it all is kind of fascinating. We've seen a lot of the information, but because of it all actually has me oddly optimistic and hopeful for this team, and I'll tell you why. 713-572-4610. Before we get to there, I do want to salute again, you know, the journalists that were doing a lot of work on this. DJ Bienemy is probably the one who's been digging deepest on this. And I will decide to be thankful as opposed to upset that he waited until we got off the air to drop some of the stuff that made this, that gave us some real insight on this. But, you know, it'd be like that sometimes.
Yeah,
it takes some time for this to come together. But he wrote an article for ESPN. Obviously, he covers the Texans for ESPN. He also on his Twitter posted like video breakdowns of some of the plays, at least one of them, the one from the Jaguars game, that was visual evidence of the C.J. Gardner-Johnson breaking down and going into business for himself.
Mm-hmm.
That then, you know, put bad looks on Kamari Lassiter.
Yeah.
And then in other plays, literally every single game this year
was at least one.
At least one major big play that was either a touchdown, giving up a touchdown, or putting a team into red zone and the area for a touchdown, based off of a clear defensive breakdown that was caused by C.J. Gardner-Johnson. So shout out to DJ Bienemy, and I actually want to turn here. This is him on, I guess they call it the Texans Cookout podcast, that him and Jonathan Alexander.
What?
And
the
Chancellor
cookout.
Johnson.
Okay. Texans Cookout.
You know about the Texas Cookout?
No, I didn't know that was the name of it.
That's the name of the podcast. This was DJ Bienemy talking about the C.J. Gardner-Johnson of it all on their emergency pod.
I was hearing whispers early. I was like, damn, already? You know, because, like, to the naked eye, like, he seemed like he was just doing just fine. Like, I think the issue was, like, the coverage bust and the lack of accountability. That was more or less the issue. And, like, there were times where he was, you know, would say, like, oh, this is how we did it in Philly. But it's like, bro, you're not in Philly, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're literally, Vic Fangio is not your DC. So that was kind of, like, the big issue. And obviously, like, team chemistry stuff, things of that nature, wasn't a great fit. And it kind of, like, got to the point where they had to let him go. You know, I remember I started getting, like, whispers, like, once they restructured his deal, that's when I was, like, that's when I heard, like, oh, that might be, they might be trying to get out of this deal early, since that's why they restructured his deal and whatnot. I was like, oh, really? Oh, interesting. Like, I would have thought about that. I would have thought, okay, if you restructure somebody's deal, that might keep you here longer, you know, because the dead money and whatnot, because you end up converting something to a signing bonus and blah, 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 blah. So that's when it started to perk my ears up a little bit. But obviously, I didn't anticipate he'd be gone after the third game.
And I don't think any of us did, but, man, that's super interesting that, like, the money change could have been something where they were preparing to get rid of him.
Totally disagree.
Okay.
Totally disagree. I think what they did there is, the way he broke it down was fantastic. Totally agree with it in terms of what he did and his mistakes and all that stuff. But by this would be the first team that I've ever heard of that you know, restructured a deal and gave him almost $6.6 million in bonus because they were thinking about getting rid of him. Every other team I've ever heard of, that is an endorsement. That is an absolute, we like you. We think you're going to be the guy. It's an endorsement. So I'm not saying he's completely wrong, but that's the first time I'd ever seen that, if that's the case. Secondly, keep in mind, the restructure was done before the season started. It wasn't done after they had, and he didn't play in the preseason. So now I know there's walkthroughs and there's meetings and there might have been some issues already. I think there were. But the timeline just doesn't jibe, man, because they never saw him on the field. They never, other than some practices and maybe some walkthroughs, they never could have been to a point where they said, oh, we might have to get rid of him. That wasn't until week one, week two, week three. So I think that, and by the way, I'm not picking on him per se.
Sure.
I'm just saying from a Nick Caserio perspective, it's another bad look. You know, I think everything he said is right, and I really admire the work these guys are doing. I'd love to be invited to the cookout sometimes.
Sorry, buddy.
We'll see. No, I'm in the group. Mm, I'm in the group. Mm. Figgy's invited me to the cookout.
Figgy, who gave you the permission? No, but I hear what
you're
saying.
But you see, never, ever have I said, we're going to restructure him because I think we're going to cut him. No. Never seen that.
So that was more of a that was one of the many details in this. Again, I encourage you to read his piece where he
but everything details, else, yes.
He details every play, and I went back and looked at him. Every single play, and it's like, oh, well, yeah, you see it now when you know what the coverage responsibilities were, which is honestly another reason why I take it on good account that he's getting this information from field level. But ultimately, all of this, all the reporting where we find out that, you know, the touchdown for Ryan Miller in week two, obviously we know about the touchdown or the big play from Brian Thomas Jr. that ultimately, you know, basically ends the game because once they're in the red zone, you have to let them score. You're down seven instead of tied and the game changes. And even in the Rams game where Davis Allen gets the touchdown, was that the only touchdown that the Rams scored in that game? Right. That is a breakdown from C.J. Gardner-Johnson. And I'm looking at this spinning it forward like, oh, the thing that I've been looking at this defense at and going, well, they're having a big problem with this. Yeah, they're giving up leaky yards, but the big issue is they're giving up big plays. That's one dude, and that's been removed.
Yeah.
Like, I actually have a lot more hope because the recipe that was supposedly we were supposed to have coming into the season, without fixing the offense yet, which understandably is still an issue, the recipe of the defense is really bleeping good, and then the offense comes along. That's still intact now. If you are to believe that C.J. Gardner-Johnson is the big reason why those big plays that led to the few touchdowns that have been given up, you take that out of here, and now you have an opportunity to actually be quote unquote close. As much as that has frustrated us to hear.
No, look, in that regard, I am with you. I think it, and I'm just doing the math.
Sure,
like those three plays were the difference in three games, and maybe that's what D'Amico's talking about. You know, the scoreboard was one way he explained it, but like, we're close. And keep in mind something else that D'Amico has said on more than one occasion, the eyes. You got to trust your eyes. We're not seeing what we need to see, et cetera. Well, who was he talking about?
Well, specifically C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Like I said, I was watching with Aaron Raybould, our engineer, earlier before the show, and I was looking at every single one of these plays. I went and saw the Ryan Miller play that was had against the Bucks, the touchdown.
Yeah.
And legitimately, you have two high safeties. CJ is one on the right side. Obviously, Kalen Bullock is the other. And Ryan Miller coming from the left side of the offense, and he's going to run a post kind of that's going to get in the middle of those two safeties. Well, on the right side, you have Christian Harris in zone, and there's a little sit-down hook in that zone. And it's right next to Christian Harris and Baker Mayfield. And I understand this is probably why Baker was talking, part of why he was talking all that trash.
Yeah.
Baker gives a little shoulder shimmy pump fake that we've seen like Peyton Manning do a whole bunch. And C.J. Gardner-Johnson bites down in a zone that is already being covered by Christian Harris. Christian Harris is covering this very well right now.
Yeah.
But I guess C.J. Gardner-Johnson, in a way that almost made me think of Ed Reed, sorry to you know, open that wound, but like even good Ed Reed where he just freelances and he's like, I know where this ball is going to be, except the ball wasn't there.
Yeah.
There's a pump fake, and now you're out of position. You're supposed to be the guy Kalen Bullock is depending to be on the other side of this wide receiver that's in the middle. And now Baker Mayfield has an easy lead touch pass as opposed to trying to fit it into a tight window that was not going to be there if you are holding responsibility. That doesn't happen with MJ Stewart. As much as you could talk about a talent step down from C.J. Gardner-Johnson that I will not fight you on, MJ Stewart has been in his role and he does his job. You know what I mean? And so I do respect the situation where I think now if you have someone that's simply going to do their job, this defense looks a lot more stout, a lot more, able to hold water. And I think that does change the math on what's happening with this team right now. You're still behind the eight ball because you're 0-3, but I feel like I believe more in their capability of going out and getting wins.
And that's where I agree with you. I think, you know, I could believe more in what they're doing and they're sticking to their assignments, et cetera. But you also touched on, you know, hey, let's remember, you know, there is a talent drop off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, MJ Stewart has 5 snaps this year. 5 snaps. There's a reason for that, even though they had already seen some of these issues with C.J. Gardner-Johnson. So, you know, both sides of the coin here, you know, have to be in play. But I do feel not just, you know, he's not going to, you know, bust his assignment like that. He's going to stick to the script. But I think the vibe in the locker room is probably better. You know, there were reports, and you heard him talking about that there. You know, just, you know, it just feels better. I think more guys are going to realize, you know, hey, you've got to do your job. They just cut a guy they gave a lot of millions of dollars to. So I think it is going to be overall an improvement. And again, I'll just do the math. You know, take away those 3 plays, do your assignment on those 3 plays. They might still score. We don't know. You know, there's all kinds of butterfly effects in play here.
I doubt it's 0-3.
But if you just take those 3 plays away, I don't know if it's going to be 0-3 or not. You have a better chance to not be 0-3 is what I'm saying.
100%. Yeah. And I keep trying to fight myself. I'm like, I hope I'm not getting into hopium here, but it's very clear when you go in. Look, if you have the opportunity to go and watch the plays, please do. When you understand, okay, this is what the responsibilities are, which is always so hard, even if you're watching the film intently. Remember, actually, I wasn't watching with you. I was watching with Parker. I was looking at the play that happened, the Brian Thomas Jr., and I'm like, what's happening here? Oh, okay, if it's match zone.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that makes so much more sense. You're turning a Kamari Lassiter into a, you know, he's doing...
he's trying to cover for
you. He's doing training camp one-on-ones.
Yeah.
And we know training camp one-on-ones full field is impossible for a defense back, and boom, there you see an impossible play, which honestly helps also answer, and it's one of the reasons why I'm hopeful again, helps answer some of the questions that we had about, that I at least had, I don't want to put it on you, Kamari Lassiter and Caleb Bullock. I'm like, why does it look like they're declining? They're not. They're trying to cover for somebody who's you can't depend on being in the right spot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that makes me feel so much better about what this defense is. There's still huge questions to ask about this offense. There's still some opportunities of are you able to stop the run? But at the very least, the idea that this defense felt like it was declining, which is one of the reasons that I'm like, yo, D'Amico, why are you not able to answer these questions? Well, one of those is what we do schematically, and if you do what your coach should do, which is a refrain that he had a lot in a lot of his availabilities with the media, then it looks a lot different in my mind.
No, and here's the other thing, and we just have to remember, there's still the offense.
100%. There's still the nose tackles, right? There's still the defensive tackles that are getting got in the run game to some degree. I'm not saying that that's going to be everything, but the game is a lot different when you're like not giving up explosive plays on this defense.
Those games could have been different. That's what I'll say. Those games could have been different, at least one or two of them, or who knows. But again, I think the vibe is going to be better. I think the assignments are going to be better. Somebody texted, you know, they're going to be better just because that guy's going to have the right assignment. Maybe. But again, you know, he's only played 5 snaps for a reason, you know, and who knows if there's things that, you know, MJ Stewart, you can exploit there. And on the offensive side, you know, we'll see. They just have to get a little better. There's still that aspect.
Yeah. So I do feel a lot better. I feel even better about this Titans game, and that's still with all the issues that you have. But I will give them credit for making this decision, and we were really surprised, and I said it felt like a disaster, and 24 hours later, I feel entirely different. Now, there's still problems with it. It's still indicative of issues when it comes to the swings and misses, the numerous ones that now you're looking at on, you know, with the benefit of hindsight, you're going, well, there's a miss, and I actually still think the process of the C.J. Gardner thing was, Senior Gardner-Johnson thing was right? You took a dude in Kenyon Green that was not going to be an impact on this team. You were not going to utilize him. Now I think about this offensive line.
You basically traded nothing for nothing.
Except the money, and the monetary
portions you took a financial hit.
Yeah, the monetary hits are the issue here, but if I was just take the process as it was done was probably good there. You know me, I'm a process guy. The problem is I also am not so much of a process guy where I ignore results.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that sucks is that the result of this in and of itself, maybe with the process I'd be okay with, but you put it on top of all the other issues and all the other swings and misses, and it becomes you're 0-3, you now are taking on this more money, your offensive line talent isn't there, and that's why this is an issue on top of all those other
things. It's been a bad season for Nick Caserio.
To this point.
Flat out.
To this point.
C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Cam Robinson benched, Lakin Tomlinson kind of benched and on thin ice, Darrell Taylor, healthy scratch, EJ Speed, special teamer, and nothing more. Ronald Darby retired. Sheldon Rankins and Ed Ingram, they're producing. Been a bad year. Been a bad year for Nick Caserio.
At the risk of running too long, earlier in the week we did a what is like the best case scenario moving forward, and I want to just real quick, very, very quickly run through the schedule game with you one more time, especially if you are with me and having a different view of this defense now, where now it makes sense as to why it feels like it's a good defense, but it also doesn't, right? Now we have that answer. How does your opinion change at all on, I'm guessing no on Baltimore, but on Baltimore?
No.
Seattle. At Seattle, week 6, Monday night.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I think my opinion might change on that a little
bit. Yeah.
Versus San Francisco at home.
Yes.
Changes.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
No Bosa, better defense, keep it close, knows the system, knows the team.
Versus Denver.
They've been a little bit up and down, but they have a good defense.
Second time versus Jacksonville.
For sure, at home.
Absolutely.
At home.
At Tennessee.
I mean, I thought they were going to win anyway.
Fair enough. I probably should stick to the ones that, okay.
Yeah.
Versus Buffalo.
No.
No, fair enough. At Indianapolis.
No.
We'll see what that looks like at some point. At Kansas City.
No.
Even with as dicey as Kansas City has looked early?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. Versus Arizona.
Probably.
Probably. Okay, yeah. I like that. Las Vegas, I don't know how you felt about that before.
I'm good. I mean, I think they'll be good with the Raiders.
At L.A. for the Chargers?
No.
And then we already talked about Indy. I think that's a few games, like three games that flip there, even just in how you feel about them before we see what they've been able to figure out offensively or anything. I think that's where I am in being hopeful with this news that came down. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's do our lunchtime confessions as we do. Before we do that, I feel like we should give away a $50 gift card to Techstar Grill Shop. What's that sound like?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Call number 10 right now, 713-572-4610. We'll win that $50 gift card to Techstar Grill Shops and be entered in for a chance to win a grill and a case of OG sauce. All you got to do is be calling number 10 right now, 713-572-4610. Coming up next, Lunchtime Confessions.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We were talking earlier, Reggie, about,
We
talk every day about the Major League Baseball going to the ABS system and, you know, I guess technology strike zone, technological strike zone, and all that good stuff. Why the hell do they call them robot umpires? I hate that so much.
That's a good point. It's not like they actually robots.
Why do they? You've seen I guess it's a video, maybe it's a GIF or whatever, of that robot running down the hill with the funky head and he's white and he's all running down. It's all over the internet. That's a robot. To me, that's a robot. A robot, you know.
Actually, what is technically a robot is a machine, especially one programmable by a computer, capable of carrying out a complex series of actions automatically.
Yeah. Look, this one here is the one that's what I'm picturing. Robot.
I didn't see that. Why did they put clothes on
the
robot?
They put clothes on this robot running down that. You've seen it, Figgy?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, it's wild, man. It's been making all the rounds.
Yeah, stop. So, anyways, that's a whole
different thing. Why is Major League Baseball calling this robot? There ain't no robots.
I don't think they're calling it robot umpires.
No, they did.
Did they?
Yeah, they did. And everybody since has been calling them robot umpires.
Because since the 70s, probably, we in our American society are fascinated with robots and anything sci-fi.
An actual robot.
It feels space age. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They need to give it like a name. You know how you got like these different AI companies and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Google got Gemini. And
give it a name, an actual name.
Yeah, just an actual name.
Who's a famous umpire? We could just call it like
Barry or something.
Joe West?
No, not Joe West.
All the famous ones are the bad ones to me.
Yeah.
Let's go to Barry for the call.
I'm thinking of one of my Kent places.
I just like the idea of like a batter getting a bad pitch and going like, hey, Angel, tell me if that was a strike or not.
Hey, they should,
not
man.
Angel Hernandez, for God's sake.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Not him for my sure. Bad. But yeah,
hey, blue would actually be good.
It just
call it blue, especially since umpires hate being called blue.
That's it. What does blue have to say?
Yeah,
dude, you send that to someone.
What do you mean send that?
Send
to someone?
An
I'm
email.
Gonna copyright it. I'm sending it right now.
Then
y'all, if y'all
want
to use it, y'all better pay me some
they have
money.
A little something. Bling.
Now I would. What does blue have?
It
to say?
It was a strike.
I would. It's not a robot. Robots are those things that you see. You know. Whatever, doing stuff at a factory.
Wait,
you know,
so I like this, the John Lopez robot or no robot test. Mm-hmm. So the robot vacuums, the automated vacuums.
That's a robot.
But that doesn't evoke the humanoid nature that you seem
but
to be
But it's the definition
about.
Of what you described. Like a strike zone with basically an electronic dinging sound or whatever, electronic, you know, data, that's not a robot. That's like an app. Basically, it's an app. You know, that's a robot. The dude running down the hill is a robot. The arms, you know, making your car, that's a robot. Drives me nuts that they're calling this
Robo
a robot.
Blue.
Robo Blue.
It's like RoboCop.
Let's go.
It's like RoboCop.
Let's go.
Robo Ump.
Robo Blue. Man.
Robo Ump is not the I Ump.
You can't lose with that.
Jim Joyce.
Jim Joyce is one I was thinking of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Jim feels, I feel like you have to go Joyce.
He's going to want some money Joyce. For that one.
Joycey. Yeah, that's the other thing. Is you, now like, you're having to
you
pay
gotta
out.
Run me my money.
For intellectual property or name, image, and likeness in a non-college setting.
Yeah.
All right, I will admit, and this one isn't the crazy admission. This is the first admission to get to the real admission. All right, rock with me. I very much was somebody for whom Tom Brady was deeply annoying in his tenure. It's like, oh, look at me. I'm conventionally handsome and have a supermodel wife and win a whole bunch of championships.
Conventionally handsome.
La-di-da-di-da, right? And then, you know, I just had to come to a place where, you know what? I feel like this happens with a lot of us in sports where you get to a point where you're just like, I just got to respect what's happening there. Mm-hmm. My confession is I have circled back around to I'm done with this dude. You are dead to me. So apparently, first and foremost, he has a weekly newsletter because I guess when you get paid that much, you got a lot of things that you got to do. Shout out to Stephen A. Smith. But in his latest newsletter, an entry titled Do Your Job that he published today, Tom Brady wrote that, quote, only the paranoid and distrustful believe that there's a conflict of interest in his roles. Get the bleep out of here. Right. Don't pee on my head and call it rain, bro. I can see.
Mm-hmm.
Like I got a brain. You have different job. You have a job in which you get information ahead of the time, ahead of a game from another team. And then you have another job where you are invested in the winning of one team.
Yeah.
Like, that is a natural conflict of interest. Don't call me stupid because I can see it.
Yes.
How dare you?
Completely with you. What was the quote he used again? What was the quote he said?
So he said that only the paranoid and distrustful believe that there's a conflict of interest.
Come on, man.
I'm paranoid because I could put two and two together. Yes.
So I guess that's every team in the league.
Yeah.
That's the whole NFL.
Yes.
And the implication is that we, even if I was paranoid and distrustful, that you were somebody that deserves trust. We got two gates on your name, big dog.
That's right.
Two of them, right? You deflated
about to get
footballs.
A third. About
you
to get
got
a
spies. Like, we shouldn't be able to trust you anyways.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Exactly. By the way, Harry Wendelstedt is the one I was
thinking of. Ooh, Wendelstedt
is Wendelstedt. Good. What does Wendelstedt say? Texted that in. Thank you very much.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I got to confess, I'm kind of looking at Toro a little different now, man.
Mm-hmm.
So remember a couple weeks ago, I think it was around the time we was doing the kids reads and all that stuff
mm-hmm.
that week. And remember, our boss was like, hey, Toro will be up here around a little early. Yeah. So you might miss him, but he'll be up here around 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be going around promoting his book. And I think his book is called Made to Be a Mascot.
Okay.
I think it's a children's book, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, cool. I was debating on getting up here to, you know, take a little video with Toro, all that stuff. Toro, cool. But I didn't make it. I seen one of our stations up here post a picture, mm-hmm. and they tagged Toro in it. Like, hey, Toro, make sure you get Toro's book. And it was a white guy in the picture.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking like, oh, okay. I'm like, who is this white guy? I was kind of confused.
Sir, because that was Toro. Either Sean or Seth. Okay.
No, it was nobody to work here. White boy. Nah, but it was a white boy in the picture.
please don't text us. It's an inside joke at this point that was started earlier this morning.
Salute to Rick Ross.
Yeah.
But I was sitting there, I'm like, who is the and I realized, oh, that's Toro.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, you ain't wearing your costume, man.
Toro, uncovered, unmasked.
I would have been pissed off if I got up here early because I was not expecting. I thought it was gonna be Toro.
Oh, he was never wearing the costume.
No, he not.
What are we
not,
doing?
Not in the picture.
It's just a dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get. And look, to be fair, maybe our boss could have set it up a little wrong or something like that. But I was expecting Toro to be up here.
Right.
You know, doing Toro things and being silly, mm-hmm. doing pranks and all that stuff. But it was just a white guy in the picture.
Just a white.
I was just like, who is this guy? And I realized it was Toro.
Admit it, you were glad that you didn't come up here early.
Yeah. I mean, salute to the guy. He do an amazing job and mm-hmm. Hall of Famer and all that
That's
stuff.
Right.
Yeah,
but I was like, dang, I was expecting Toro. That's not Toro.
Should mascots ever be unmasked while they're still in on duty?
If you promoting the mascot,
I don't know.
In there.
I kind of like the mystique of not like of it being a secret identity, but also I recognize there's no real reason for that. Like, there's not a huge. I know that there's somebody in there. Knowing who the person is,
but
probably
that's part
shouldn't
of the
change.
Intrigue.
Yeah, just just imagine you tell your kids, hey, Barney gonna be up at the station,
and it's some dude.
It's just some random dude up there. Hey,
I'm Barney. No, you're not.
No, you're Jeffrey.
Yeah. Like, who the hell is this?
Yeah, Barney has a whole suit. I don't know what you're doing right now. That's funny. From the 346, are we sure Figgy doesn't want to be Toro? Figgy.
Nah, okay. Nah, man, no. When I was a street teamer, I had to wear, you know, 100.3 the Bull got their mascot, the Bull mascot.
Mm-hmm.
I had to wear that a couple times at a concert.
You were McDowell's.
Huh?
You were McDowell's. You weren't the real Toro. You were the Bull.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. I got the Big Mick.
You got the Big Mick?
Yeah, but
what
I had
your address?
Oh, 8507 Queens Boulevard. But yeah, I had to wear that costume. It was during a concert. It was 90 degrees outside. It was July. Man, I was sweating like crazy,
no,
man.
Thank
so
you.
I'm good on the mascot business.
Mm-hmm. Which honestly, to be fair, that's probably a good reason for Toro to be out here in his regular skin. He's like, hey, man, it's summer. Hey. I'm not actually publicizing anything with Toro. Let me wear just some shorts and tips.
Tell me the guy that plays Toro
is
will be here.
Yeah.
Then I will have a totally different feeling on it.
Exactly.
I'll be like, okay, and pick up his book too. But I was like, man, what?
You walk up to the guy that says Barney, that plays Barney, goes, yeah, I'm Barney. He's got like a cigarette. He's got that raspy voice.
I do it, kid.
I do it, kid. I'm Barney. No, you're not. You're scaring me. This is going to be a fun weekend of golf.
Ryder Cup, right?
Ryder Cup.
Look at me knowing things.
And not only, and I know, you know, I'm the golf geek here, but it's going to be a fun weekend for all of us. I'll bet you by Monday and Tuesday, we're going to have some good audio, some good controversy, some meaty stuff to talk about, even though all this great football that is going to be played, man, college football slate is going to be about golf. And you know why? The Ryder Cup is in New York.
Hey.
This is a warm-up round. Let me give you a taste. So Rory McIlroy bladed an iron, and they're like, go right. Go right. Because for those who don't know, USA versus Europe, and he's on the European team, and all these New Yorkers are like, all right, USA, get out of here.
Get out of here. Out of here.
It's going to be heckling on a golf course. It's going to be like, you know, whatever. It's going
to
be
all
awful.
Right. And real quick, on the way out, because I need to throw it on the way out before you guys hate me, I think that we can come up with something better than just the generic USA chant. I feel like we need to advance this into something else. I get it. People rally behind it. I feel like we can do a little bit more than that. Yes, I am the USA chant hater. That is at the Figgy Fig on social media.
Hey,
if you
no,
want to
it's
talk
not.
All right, no, that it's is, not. Those are your lunch talk.
I love this country. I'm proud
to
be an
American. I love this country. I just thought that we, as a country of fantastic Americans,
you don't love the country chant.
I feel like we can do better. That's why I feel like we can even do better than that.
Part of the problem.
Coming up next, it's a Wednesday, so let's get a little bit of Judge John Lopez going. 713-572-4610. You weigh in too as we enter the courtroom next. All right, you hear the music. Time for a little Judge John Lopez here in the loop, where we take a few things in the world of sports and we allow the Honorable Judge John Lopez to rule on it. He is, if you are watching on YouTube, you see he has his nice powder wig on.
Darn right.
Myself.
I always have to turn the volume up. It's so thick.
Oh, because you have your headphones on over the wig. You can't even hear what's saying. Okay, very good. Myself and Figgy Fig are going to be the counselors in this. And you add in 713-572-4610. And we begin. First topic on the docket has to do with the NFL and its relationship with YouTube. Shout out to Jordan Rodrigue of The Athletic for writing a piece that kind of details how the NFL and the YouTube are getting closer and their relationship could change everything. That is the headline. And she really kind of goes through, you know, the palling around that Roger Goodell has done with, you know, YouTube and YouTube stars, mm-hmm. as we've seen even the YouTube game, the exclusive game that happened with the Sao Paulo game.
And the influencers on the sideline.
Influencers with the whole special side cast, like mm-hmm. the Manning cast or the Nickelodeon cast that other broadcasts have done. Mm-hmm. They're doing side YouTube casts, and they're hoping to do more things, more investment between the NFL and YouTube. And the question is that a good thing? Counselor Figgy Fig, you take it away.
Yes, and thank you, Your Honor, for having us here. Just want to say I'm excited about the Ryder Cup, baby.
How about that? Ryder Cup golf this weekend. I appreciate that,
I know,
counselor.
You love golf.
You dang right. Yeah, we should play sometime.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
I feel like that's a conflict of interest, if nothing else.
For sure, he's never had a club in his ass.
Barely stepped on the golf course, Your Honor. But I will with you.
That's right.
Anywho, I think this is a good thing for the NFL to build that relationship, because a lot of people are on YouTube now. A lot of people just use YouTube Premium and hell, some of them use YouTube as their provider. Mm-hmm. So they watch a lot of TV from YouTube. And the NFL, one thing the NFL been trying to do for years is get the attention of the younger crowd. So they've been broadcasting on Nickelodeon and doing stuff like that. And now they're teaming up with different influencers and stuff like that. I think this is kind of a match made in heaven, to be honest, because if you're already streaming on YouTube, if you're streaming a game on YouTube, why not create that relationship and maybe stream more on YouTube? Mm-hmm. So I think this partnership, I think they could take it a step further. I think they should build more on this, and I think they got some good reviews on it as well.
Okay.
Your Honor, I want to take you back to the commissioner of a different league, mm-hmm. National Basketball Association. You recall when Adam Silver was kind of asked about the availability of games, and he was talking about how, you know, it's a highlight-driven league and how you could kind of watch it. I do wonder if the NFL's fascination with YouTube isn't something similar, where they're chasing kind of the availability to the youth and maybe not necessarily focusing on the continued things that are drivers for them. And if this doesn't, like, if a fascination with YouTube doesn't pull them to a place where they're so focused on trying to capture another market and doing so in a way that maybe pulls them away from mm-hmm. what the focus should be, especially as they do the similar thing that the NBA is doing, not entirely, because there's obviously always still the big TV contracts and Fox and CBS mm-hmm. or whatever, but they put more things behind paywalls and they worry a lot about social media and that aspect of it. We've seen how there are people that have derided the NBA for it. It does feel like the NBA might, or the NFL rather, might be falling into a little bit of that same allure at this moment with this particular foray into further and further depths with Houston.
Well, this court would like to ask you a question just for further clarification. You say that they should focus into other avenues. Like, what specifically would you be talking about?
Oh, with the NFL?
As opposed to YouTube.
Well, I mean, I think they're doing a lot of streaming, like continuing, obviously, with their mm-hmm. with their TV relationships. But that's a fair question. I don't really have a great answer into, like, what other places that they go. It just feels like...
Just other providers.
Well, I mean, like, they continue to do the things that they do with what they have here, mm-hmm. where the money continues to be there. I think the question I have is, like, is this a part of the ever long look at, are you moving from pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered? Like, that's the thing that I have always kind of worried about with the NFL. Now, they've continually made it so that that's not been the case, but I wonder when it does end up showing up, especially when we've seen something similar happen with a different league of a different caliber.
Yeah, and Your Honor, I just want to bring up a point real quick. Mm-hmm. I think bringing up the NBA, I think it's fair, but I think it's kind of apples to oranges a little bit, because the NBA, they did a lot of stuff with the social media stuff, but it just fall flat. And the NFL kind of did similar things where it worked. They didn't really have a moment where something fall flat. So, right. And plus it's football compared to basketball.
Well, I would like to, as I make my decision here, I would like to just mention something that I actually mentioned to Reggie Monday morning before the show. So I was watching, I was down in Aransas Pass. We were doing that big event, and my son was there, and he subscribed. He put on his YouTube, you know, he signed on. And I was like, what is this magical sorcery that is before me with the four screens and watching all these games and such? So I actually looked it up because who doesn't need to pay more, you know, another service, you know, on top of all the other services we pay. But regardless of that, the court is going to side with Figgy on this one simply because the numbers say that 2.9 billion subscribers is what YouTube has right now is impossible to ignore. Like, no matter what you are, NBA, NFL, doesn't matter. You can't ignore it. And I feel like the NFL is in a place where they're on every platform. That's why I asked you the question.
Uh-huh.
Like, what are the options if not YouTube? I don't know how many of them have 2.9 billion subscribers.
I think YouTube is becoming that premium platform. Kind of.
That's where I was going with. That's why I asked.
Because I know we look at Peacock and Hulu and all this other stuff. I think they're becoming part of that same conversation, too.
That's why I'm deciding. Do you have something else to add?
No, fair enough. No, I just wanted to kind of progress the conversation. I do find it interesting, though. Let's look at the – obviously, having it available on YouTube, I think, inherently was a good thing, right? As much as I went out and was getting food, and I was able to use the innate ability of the YouTube app to kind of watch it on my phone, and it feels like it's more usable than even some of the, like, my, you know, DirecTV app or whatever. I do wonder, though, that the simulcast that they have in a way that's a little bit different, definitely different than the Manning cast, which is still geared towards that mm-hmm. same fan base. And the Nickelodeon cast, which is, I guess, kids in a way, but the going and getting these creators, I do wonder, like, what is the demographic that you're pulling in? Are you hoping that
no, that's the are the you best hoping point
that those
you made.
Are you hoping those people that, like, I watch this dude I show speed stream consistently and talk about whatever are like, well, I hadn't considered a football before, but now here I am joining this party. I do wonder how successful that actually is.
I thought that was the best point you made because you mentioned I Show Speed, and he was in that Brazil broadcast. And then I thought, I mean, there are listeners who, because, you know, of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, may have well started watching the NFL more. So I think ultimately, a little is better than nothing.
Maybe so. You know? Like, maybe that's the case.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's something the NFL is. If you thought that the YouTube game, whatever you felt of it, it feels like the NFL wants very much more mm-hmm. of that in the future. Our future. All right. We continue with Lil Judge John Lopez. One more on the docket here. I don't know. Did you see anything with Zion Williamson, the New Orleans Pelican former Duke All-Star? He was a He was really really interesting, I guess. He caught a lot of people's attention. I remember the New Orleans Pelicans ticket sales team lost their minds when they got him. It hasn't felt like that, in large part because of the injury issues that a lot of people have thought is because of his weight. Well, he's coming to camp, and he looks svelte. He has lost weight. In fact, this was Zion Williamson talking about how he feels right now.
We came up with a plan, and from boxing to working out on the football field a lot, to just different random workouts. And during that time frame last year, I really felt a shift in my body to where I would look at him and go, dude, it feels good to feel good. I haven't felt like this since college, high school, just where I can walk in the gym and I'm like, I feel good.
Mm. All right, the question at hand, now that Zion Williamson feels good, as he said, and is at a more reasonable weight and look, Zion Williamson is going to be all NBA. Counts the figgy fig.
Any team? First, second?
For any of the team. First, second, third.
No.
Your Honor, I got to go with no. I just don't think so. And it's good that Zion finally decided to get in shape and kind of stay off the New Orleans food down there. But I just don't see it right now, man. And I also think it's a red flag whenever somebody said, hey, I'm in the best shape of my life right now. Right. I haven't felt like this since college, as he said. I just don't think he can stay. I just don't really trust how healthy he can stay throughout the whole season. Mm-hmm. And now if the season was only 30 games, I think, he might be MVP. But I just don't see him holding up for 82 games this year, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm. My counterpoint to that is when he has held up, like when he has, because you talked about those 30 games, he has looked like the menace that was promised. I mean, I'm talking about the elevation and dunks that he gets, the playmaking that we don't think about a lot. He can do those things in a way that, I mean, even like an Amen Thompson, right? Those things that we go, we're wondering if we can see more of those, and even we see some of it. Zion does at that level. The problem is just, has he been on the floor? And one of the things that we consistently have talked about is his weight. If that's out of the way, I do wonder what does stop him. Now, he is on a Pelicans team that isn't great. Mm-hmm. But again, highlight league. He's going to give you those. He's going to draw attention to himself. I mean, when he has been able to play, like the games, the second year of his career, he was an all-star scoring 27 a game, right? Like this is, and he also adds in assists on top of that. He has that kind of caliber of play to him. And if he is at a weight that allows him to play, I think that he absolutely gets the attention. He can go back to being that kind of star. Mm-hmm. And I think that could get him to an all-NBA team this year.
We've seen him play all-NBA caliber basketball, just not long enough. Well, last year, what did he play, 25, 30 games?
Yeah, he played 30, right on the nose.
And averaged
25 points during that.
25, 7, and 5 is what I saw. So,
but do you trust him to stay healthy?
Well, that's the point that you made that is still resonating with me.
By the way, he's never averaged less than 5.5 assists.
It's unbelievable.
Best. 5.5 rebounds. He's averaged about 5 assists in the last 3-4 seasons.
So, Figgy, you had me, and then you lost me on this one. You had me with he's never been healthy. He's never been able to do it. The only thing that made me sort of pause, and I'm going to side with Reggie on this one, is when you said, and accurately, you said this accurately, people always say, well, I'm in the best shape of my life, but I know what I saw. Like if I said I was in the best shape of my life and I looked exactly the same as I did a year ago, no one would believe it. But he said he's in the best shape, or people are saying he's in the best shape of his life, and he looks like he's lost 40 pounds. I mean, and still has muscle. So I think there are athletes that when they get to a certain place physically, and you heard him say it in that audio, it feels good to feel good.
He sounded sincere. He sounded like it was a revelation, which honestly makes me a little mad. Because I'm like, wait, you didn't think about this till now?
Yeah.
He was like, you know what? When I don't carry this much weight, I feel like I'm faster.
Your Honor, Travis Kelce said he's in the best shape of his life.
And that's a lie. But with Zion, you could see it. That's kind of my point. Like, you could actually see, oh, yes, he's in the best shape of his life.
But can he stay healthy?
It's a great question.
That was your best point.
And you know what your secondary point could have been? The medical staff, and maybe not the same way as the Astros in New Orleans, is questionable. Like there was a good period of time where the Pelicans and the Saints were using the same medical staff. Like that's a place that has a little bit of a history of not having the best health staff. Mm-hmm. So that might be something that
adds
on.
Another thing you could have added, and I'm not trying to criticize you because I thought it was a good point you made,
right.
But is his mental state going to be any better
with all them baby mamas and such?
You know, that, yeah, that to me, that's the big question.
And I do think he looked good, and I wish we could see him for 82 games, yeah, man. I think he could be an MVP at mm-hmm. some point, but mm-hmm. I just, man, that brother don't play no more than 40 games, mm-hmm. and this is year five. Mm. This is year five. He's been in the league since 2020.
He's still just 25 years old.
Yeah, but I just can't be sold on him staying healthy for the 82 games. If you're going to be all NBA team, you can't just play 30 games.
Exactly.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. All right, coming up next, before I even get there, practice is happening at the Houston Methodist Training Center, and someone has not been spotted yet out there in practice. I'll tell you who, but also there's kind of a trend happening in the NFL when it comes to personnel. What's happening with that trend and how does it relate to the Texans? We'll talk about that. But before we get there, caller number 7 right now will win a 4-pack of tickets to see the University of Houston take on Texas Tech here in about next week. Next week is when it happens. It's October 4th. It's going to be a big game, maybe the biggest game of the Houston Cougars season. I don't know. But if you want to know and figure it out, you want to be caller number 7 right now to win that 4-pack of tickets. Those tickets are courtesy of the University of Houston. And all you got to do is be caller number 7 right now, 713-572-4610. All right, coming up next, we get into that Texas talk.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.